Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from Black-ish, Jeff Meacham, with Gina Grad on news, Walt Bryan on sound effects, and a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, there's nothing-ish about his whiteness. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on, Monday. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that you tell people. I was just in Chicago and just a few hours ago, signing autographs, taking pictures with everyone, and hearing everyone's story about how they got everyone recruited to listen to the show. So I appreciate it. And that's what we count on. Gina Grad will walk in any second. We started a couple of seconds early. Not her fault. Bald Brian.
Sugar babies.
Bald Brian picked me and Mike August up at the airport moments ago. Thank him for that.
Our romantic ride from LAX was ruined by Mike August. Interloper.
Yeah, I went to Chicago for about 12 hours. We landed... We left, so let's see if we can work this one out. We left Los Angeles on about a noon flight, and with the time difference, landed there about 6 p.m., did an 8 o'clock show. Here comes Gina Grad, everybody. Oh, I ran into Gina's aunt.
Oh, my God, she loves you so much.
I love that lady. We love you. We talked about you in the lobby of the Park West venue last night. So I was I left on a Saturday, flew out to Chicago about noon, landed about 6, did the show about 8, finished the show about 9:30, finished saying hi to everyone, including Gina's aunt, about 10:30, got back to hotel about 10:30, 11.
Said hi to Gina's aunt again.
Wait a second.
Then there's that thing. That thing for me. I don't know where you guys are at with this. Mike Lynch, Mike August there. Do you want to get something to eat? Well, Mike August and I are meeting in the lobby at 4:45. And it's now my thing is sort of just do everything as early as you can. You'll forget about it. You'll just sort of wake up. You'll be in your own bed. Like, just put your head down and push through it.
Yeah.
So we caught the earliest flight out, which was a 6:05 flight out of Midway. So in order to catch our 6:05 flight out of Midway, Midway's 25, 30 minutes away from where we were staying in Chicago. We were going to meet in the lobby at 4:45. So now it's getting near 11 o'clock. Do you want to go to your room or do you want to go out to eat? Mm-hmm. But Now, there's two caveats. One, you're going to meet in the lobby at 4:45, but right. The other one is you haven't eaten because you've been on the road
right.
That day.
And Chicago, bars and restaurants are open till 4 a.m., not 2 a.m.
Everything is better in Chicago. And since
your
we
belly's
left
on West Coast time, so and we can do a snack.
We flew Southwest, so there was no eating on the plane. We left at noon, and by the time we got to Chicago, it was time just to go do the show. But right. I just opted to go to my room, have some red wine, and those guys went out, and I met August down. Can I say this about Mike August? And, you know, we don't like to say a lot of good things about Mike August.
It's that time of year. We should say something good.
It's a
couple things. Gary, you got to go to my backpack and pull the – hold on. There's a sort of padded coaster that Mike August bought me as a neck donut. That I'd like to share with the kids. So just, you know, we don't want to say too many positive things about Mike August. This will help us. But all you people out there that just breed insecurity with everyone around you. And what I'm saying is we all know the people where you go, I'm going to pick you up at 6 a.m. Okay. I'm going to honk once. Okay. Okay, if you don't come out, if you don't come out, I'm not going to come up knock on the door.
No.
You got to be ready. Yeah, okay. I'm not going to do it like we did it last time. I'm not coming up. Okay, I'm going to call you at 5:45. You bet. But when I call you, you realize like how many calories you burn with adults that are just sort of laissez-faire. They basically said, look, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do about 60% of life, and then everyone around me can make up the slack and do the extra 40. So we can, you know, so it's like,
I'll get you halfway there.
But what I like about Mike August is I go, I'll see at the bottom, you know, him and Mike Lynch are standing at the bottom of the escalator at the, you know, at the Marriott, and mm-hmm. I go, 4:45, see you here. And it's 11 o'clock, and yeah. He's going out to eat, and I go, 4:45, right here. And he goes, see you there. And that's it. I don't have to have the... If you're not here by 4:50, now the flight, it's a 6:05 flight. If you're not here, I'm going to get into an Uber. Like, I will call you, but I am not going to, like, these are the conversations I've had with everyone in my life, my entire life. And
Most people.
But here's the thing. When you're an adult and other adults are having the, look, now listen to me. If you go out, look, it's a funeral. If you show up without a shirt, we're going to have to go to the Target and buy you a shirt. Okay? Now, I get it. It's hot. It's warm outside.
You make a compelling point.
Okay.
Now,
but
repeat after me.
Okay. The funeral starts at noon. It doesn't start at 1. And you have to wear a shirt this time. Like, you know these people that just sort of force you into their fucking retarded
yes.
world where it's like everything is just... And so, okay, I will leave. I will go to Midway without you. I will go with like everything.
The flight's
like,
no matter what.
Yeah, it makes me angry that they drag you into their horrible. It's like their thing is like, hey man, I'm a white guy. I'm from the Valley, but I'm essentially a Rastafarian from another time. And you've dragged me into your modern world. And if you'd like to see me at 4:45, you must call my room. And then you must come by my room.
Not
and
three
then,
times.
And at some point, when you're banging on the door, I'll be the one who's pissed. Like, I'll be the one that's like,
what's up?
Dude, what's up? And it's like, I'm kidding.
Time.
And at some point, you'll be incensed. And you go, I'm getting dressed, okay? Like, what? Like, everyone drives me nuts. But the one thing about Mike August, if you say, I'll see you at 4:45 at the bottom of the escalator, then he shall be there at 4:45 at the bottom of the escalator. Also, does not look for coffee at that point in his life. No coffee for him. No coffee.
Is that psychotic?
No coffee. No yawning.
Oh,
he doesn't yawn.
That's a real self-suppression.
He doesn't. He's
right
also
there.
Not one of these like, oh God, oh dear God, oh you know the people have to burden you with like, sweet Jesus,
the
no.
Early.
Oh, and they tell you some weird tale of woe where they're like, oh, I called for a 4:30 wake up call. They called at 3:30. You know, like one of those things. Nah.
Or, hey, how tired are you right now?
Nope.
Not as tired as I am.
He's just standing there like he was the night before. No problemo. So, Mike August and I were this morning, so we're doing this on a Sunday. We took off what would have been then, I guess, about 2:45 our time, then down there. Southwest, here's the deal. You guys tell me, and then you tell me how you're wired. So, I am wired to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a automobile without really batting an eye. Mm-hmm. But when I found out the other day, maybe 10 days ago, that I was flying first class to Chicago and my ticket was $1,700, I said, no, switch it to Southwest, which was $300 round trip, but it's Southwest. I mean, it's 4 hours in and 4.5 hours out. Yeah. The thing about Southwest is like, Southwest is great for your Vegases and your Tucson's and your Phoenixes and your San Francisco's, but when you start getting over 3 hours, it's
different time zones.
Yeah. And listen, maybe more is made of this than it should be, but I am 6'2". It is a little tough for the 6'2" folks in the Southwest when it gets over, but the thing about going to Chicago is I'm going there for 12 hours. Little less than 12 hours to make money and come home. And if I'm going to spend $1,700, it's coming out of the money that I'm making. And it's a pretty good percentage of the money I'm making. So I told Matt, just switch it all over to Southwest. Well, and that's what we did.
Now, speaking of Southwest and what you just said, you do sound like you're on the stripper flight to Vegas.
I do.
You're going for 12 hours, make your money, you come home.
The audience was great over there. I did like a one-man show, something I've kind of never done before, and I didn't know how it was going to go, and the audience was great, and the show was great, and everyone had a good time. So a couple things I got to complain. The obsession, Southwest and every airline, Mike and I were able to sort of work it. And that I sat against the window, he sat on the aisle, we left the seat in between us open, which is about, it makes Southwest, especially on a 4 hour flight, tolerable for that kind of trek.
Poor man's business class.
The obsession with the backpacks. The obsession with if the backpack is sitting on the chair in between the two, obsession with the sitting on the ground and not being tucked in. Like, we had 28 conversations about where the backpack needed to be and how it needed to be shoved in. And I thought, first thing I said to Mike is like, what if there's just a fat guy sitting next to us? Just a fat person.
Put him under the seat.
Sitting next to us. What's the difference between fatty sitting next to us and the backpack on the thing? And the other thing is like, the people who travel with the dogs, and the dogs are all, I was, Gary, by the way, if you take a look at my phone, I took a picture leaving LAX, two miniature service dogs, all both together in my security line. But what were the dogs? And then what's the deal with the backpack? And I don't know, the plane landed in the Hudson. Like, you think I can step over the backpack? Yeah. Like, what's going on? What's the obsession with the backpacks? There's an obsession.
So yeah, that's the reasoning, is if there's, you know, a Sully situation and that backpack ends up like falling down right in between, it's going to block you from getting out. But if it's your backpack, the guy at the window seat, if it's your backpack, you're essentially waiving your right. Like, you know what? It's okay. I'll either work around it or I'll die. Either way, I want my backpack to be here.
Well, it's essentially...
It's not like some random stranger plopped their backpack down and headed off to row 32.
But also, there's pillows and blankets. I mean, not Southwest, but like in general, there's pillows and blankets and things of that nature. Like, where does it all go? USA Today or whatever it is. Like, of course, you're going to have to negotiate.
There'll
like,
be debris. Look,
people kick their shoes off. People take their jackets off. People have you know, kid strollers and kid seats and pillows and blankets and parkas and whatever else. Like, okay, if the plane crashes, we're going to have to negotiate
things,
this stuff. But it's this, it's an obsession. It's weird. It's like they come by and they're like, okay, can we get that? And you go, it's on the ground now. It's no longer on the seat next to us. It's on the ground. It needs to be tucked. Could you tuck that in? You push it, push it in, and you're like, all right, it's pushed in. It's not pushed in enough. Like, they're just obsessed with pushing backpacks under seats. It's weird. When I'm on my deathbed, I'm going to just flash back on the 500 conversations I've had about tucking backpacks under seats and realize it's sort of like, at this point, I kind of hope a plane goes down and I'm in it. And at some point, when everything's on fire and the shit's going down and people are screaming and praying to their God, I can stand up from my seat and look down and go, there's no backpack, and step over it and go to safety. Just so it's all worthwhile. Just so it's worthwhile.
I think the obsession with backpacks is, remember the obsession a few years ago with make sure your phone's in airplane mode. Don't be on your devices. Yeah. Don't want your phone. Take your headphones out. Pay attention to that dam is broke. Like, people are on their phones with their headphones in, you know, all during the security. So I think it's like a line in the sand. Like, the last thing they can control, assert some authority over, like, backpack, got to move the backpack. Because phones, that dam is broken.
I think they just move on. Like, they go, all right, let's obsess over phones. And then turns out phones are zero. Mm-hmm. And then they move on to the backpacks. Next obsession.
Remember the charming days of yore where you had to buckle your seatbelt over your blanket so they could see that your seatbelt was buckled?
Yeah, they don't care about
that.
Talk
about over, yeah.
All right. So what was your aunt doing at this show?
She wanted to see you.
God love her.
They live in Chicago, and she went to our show when we were in Chicago, and
she
supports.
Here?
Well, that's part of it. She, like Brian's family, everybody in the grad family loves to support little Gina, which I really appreciate. But through the support of me, she loves you. She loves the comedy. My mom has all the audiobooks. She laughs at the, you know, when she's on her lunch break, tittering to herself at the bank. I mean, they love you.
Love her. Love you. Love them.
All right.
All right, so you guys tell me if you'd be a little disappointed in Mike August's...
I'm just going to say yes.
Yeah, probably.
Next support selection. Okay. So I've chosen to save a bunch of money, but fly Southwest longer than any Southwest flight should ever be taken, a four-hour-plus Southwest flight. And I know what I have ahead of me. I know I got this 90-minute one-man show that I haven't really fully worked out. And so I don't say I'm nervous, but there's a lot of question marks. We do a lot of live podcasts. I've done a lot of stand-up, but I've never really done a 90-minute one-man show. And I, of course, didn't spend enough time working it out.
What?
Right. So I'm now... a little up in my head. I'm going to try to work it out. And then I also know that we have a very long flight early the next morning and blah, blah, blah. So we're leaving LAX, and Mike says he's going to go get a sandwich. And I say, can you get me a neck donut while you're going to get your sandwich? Because I'm thinking to myself, if I can get a neck donut going, a good neck donut, then maybe I can get some sleep on this Southwest flight. He says, no problem. Then I stop and I go, you know, they have the ones that are just sort of thin and sort of wimpy and kind of beanbaggy. And now they have these new ones with like memory foam that are like deeper and steeper and have the Velcro tie in the front that keeps them
like a brace.
Yeah. Like, let's see. Suey. I'm trying to think of Matt Suey.
Who?
Just got back from Chicago. Walter Payton's fullback.
God, Brian.
Matt Suey. If you find me a picture of Matt Suey in his uniforms in the 80s, he had a toilet seat. He had the neck roll the tie in front of
Slowly coming back to me now.
So I said to Mike, he was like on the phone. He said, I'm at the pillow place. I said, go ahead and get me one. Thank you. And then I paused and I said, and get one with like the newfangled one with like the Velcro. Like, they started off as just
pure croissant,
yeah,
sort of half crescent donut, whatever, just stuffed animals you put around your neck. And then somebody said, let's make it a little higher and a little deeper and give it a little. There's Matsui with this with this donut.
With his neck donut.
His neck donut on. So he said, so I said to him, so if you're going to get me a neck donut, don't just get this sort of stuffed animal one that just sort of drapes around your neck. Just get the one with the Velcro in the front that I can tie off and kind of really keep my head supported. And he said, yeah, okay. And then he came back with this flat thing that's really heavy.
That deem, yeah, that is worthy of a picture on
that. That looks with a, that's like with a butt
pad. With a belt around it.
I don't get
that
it.
That is the size of a child's placemat, like a small placemat.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, there's Matsui. I don't know. I'm not sure. Now, look, I'm not saying it's bad. It just has nothing to do with what we discussed at all. And in a world... there's a shop filled with Matsui-esque donut, neck donuts. Like, I passed the place. It's just hanging there. They're on the rack. Right. Like, there's a whole bunch of them. And I saw the one that had the Velcro tie in the front. I was like, hey, get the one that ties in the front. How do you go from neck donut to essentially coaster? That's... Yeah, okay, let me describe this. I'll see if I can do it. It's about 12 inches across. It's about 9 inches wide. It's got a little bit of a shape to it, like a bow tie, but not much. It sort of looks like something for your dog, something ergonomic for your dog.
That's the kind of thing that I stand on when I get out of the shower.
Yeah, it's flat. It's about 3/4 inch thick. It does not look like a pillow. It doesn't look like a neck donut. It doesn't look like anything.
If someone handed me that in a vacuum, I would put it on the seat and sit on it.
It's a butt cushion.
Ooh, can I it's a weird can call.
Can I stand on that?
It's just weird when we're talking donuts. Yes. And I said, yeah, get the one with the Velcro that goes across the neck.
It's more of a Danish.
Yeah.
Why? What is that? And also, look, I don't like yelling at people who do me favors, but I balled it up and tried to sort of shove it under my cheek. But I mean, it's a weird call.
How's it supposed to be used?
It doesn't. There's no.
Here's the thing. Here's the Mike August thing that you guys need to know. He has bought me a traditional neck donut in the past. He has a traditional neck donut. We had several conversations about where the donut was that he bought me and how come I wasn't utilizing it. I got defensive and said I'd remodeled my master bedroom. Stuff was moved all over the place. The kids are a mess. The house is a mess. We had discussed his traditional neck donut that he bought me ad nauseum. So when I said to him, get me a neck donut, since he's the last human being to buy me a neck donut in a very traditional shape and fashion, and I said, just get the one with the Velcro across the front. There's a weird strap. I don't know how the strap works.
I don't either.
I don't know how anything works. There's no Velcro, and it does not resemble what I asked for. What is that? How does that part of life work, and how does Mike work, and no one has an answer?
I think he just locked in on memory foam and left it at that.
I don't like memory foam. You know why? Think about it. The foam, it's got a memory.
Yeah. It knows what you've done.
It knows eyes. What you're up to.
Know where you've been.
Yep.
Next thing you know, your bed with memory foam, it's at a party.
Yep. With other memory foam
it
beds.
It all has a couple of drinks, and all these memories start flooding back. Yeah. Oh, Corolla.
I could tell you some stories.
You know, he cries when he makes love. Oh, yeah.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, man show guy. Big macho man show guy. And by the way, when I say makes love, that's few and far between what he does alone. Oh, man. Hold on. Give me another drink. I can barely open my eyes here.
You better write this down before you forget.
Memory foam.
Memory foam.
In.
All right. I don't know if you guys have... we're now at a... I had this thought. You know when you watch... movies, Tom Cruise movies from the future, and they have like computers
There's
and
a
stuff.
Lot, by the way,
and they're in the.
There's a lot, by the way. He's in a lot of movies.
Yeah,
in the future.
a lot of motorcycles in the future. But they have like they'll have computers in the future, but they're like out in the battlefield and stuff, and they're like using them, and they're like it's kind of weird because you're thinking, especially when you first started seeing these movies, because computers were like pristine and at home or whatever, and you couldn't take them out.
They're connected to a bay,
They're plugged in or whatever, and they're like using them and whatever. I don't know why, but I had this thought. We remember when a Prius was a new car. We got picked up from the airport with a Prius taxi with 250,000 miles on it. I mean, Priuses are old taxis now. We're old, and that a Prius... I remember going like, a Prius taxi? What? Ooh. What is this?
What is the sorcery?
Does it levitate?
You know, and they have to do... Look, I don't give a shit about changing the oil, new tires, you name it. There is something to the feel of riding in the back of a car that has over 200,000 miles on it that can never be replicated. Mm. Prius or not. Like, just... That feeling of the car. Oh, the car looks fine. Everything's fine. Everything looks fine. Everything is fine. But the feeling of the car that has circled the globe seven times.
You talk about memory foam. Those back seats and stories to tell.
Oh, my God. All right. Let me tell you guys, and then I'll tell you two things. I had two taxi things. I had one on the way out, one on the way back. You guys tell me. The simple part of life and the simple part of your job that people don't get. All right, first, Blue Apron, man, the number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service. Less than $10 a meal. New recipes created each week, not repeated within a year. Takes 40 minutes or less to put together and make upcoming meals. Summer vegetable and egg paninis. Also, soy glaze, pork and rice cakes, garlic butter, shrimp and corn. Oh, I'm so excited about this. Delivery options to fit your every need. No weekly commitment. So you only get the deliveries you want. You can check this week's menu and you can get three meals free. Free shipping too. BlueApron.com/Adam. That's BlueApron.com/Adam. Get the three meals for free. And free shipping. You will not go back. You will not be disappointed. I put this challenge out before. Get Blue Apron and then shoot me a tweet if you're not 1,000% satisfied, because it is the best. Blue Apron, better way to cook. All right. on the way out, Gary, do you have a picture of the cab driver with the seat reclined?
Sure do. You want an hour?
Yes. It's a reoccurring theme, but it's a weird
thing. Oh, my.
It's
oh
a
my.
Weird thing.
And he's sitting up.
Yes.
That's the part that's the weirdest. It's like you're a cab driver. There's not a lot. Like, I'm not going to, as a cab driver, I'm not going to drop you off like a whole bunch of tax forms and go, I need this now. Like, you need to complete this long form now. Like, there's just a couple of things you need to do. And one of them is not have your seat recline. It's a Prius. It's not a stretch limo. The guy who we drove there with had full recline in the seat. And I know people go like, hey, man, he's in the car all day. Yeah, I get it with people behind him.
The part that confounds me the most is, not exaggeration, the seat is at 45 degrees. His back is at 90 degrees. He is sitting up. He's not. He doesn't need the seat to be reclined. I understand if he's a fat guy who's comfortable or whatever.
Nope, he's just being a jerk.
He's literally too short to reach the steering wheel if he lay back in the seat.
That's
but he still has this seat. I've had this happen multiple times where the cab driver has his seat reclined. Now, I don't mind the seat recline if you're being blown. I don't mind the seat recline if you're on your break. And I don't mind the seat recline if you're picking up like one human being and you go
over there.
Hey, you may want to hop into the passenger side over there. But Mike August is behind this guy with his knees against the seat. Also, the guy had this. He was eating crackers the entire time.
Stylish shirt.
He was eating crackers the entire time. You guys riddle me this. Dude, I think it's a black dude thing, but you guys tell me this. Dude with long-ish, not long fingernails, just long-ish fingernails that are sort of well done, but sticking out like a good 3/16 from like so
from the nail bed.
Right. So for me, when my nails get long, I immediately, it gets weird. It's like dirt, stuff under there. It feels weird. Now, I do a lot of work and building and cars and stuff. So when my nails get long, I immediately clip them because it feels.
It's a hazard.
They get, stuff gets caught under them. It just doesn't feel right. But the guy who likes his nails a little bit long, not, not chick long, just a little long for a dude and sort of well done.
Yep.
Weird, right?
Yes, and the times I can remember seeing that, it was on Black Guys.
Yes, why?
I don't know.
We should ask Jeff when he comes in here. He does Blackish. It's a black dude thing. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but here's the thing. Anybody who has their nails long or their seat reclined, if you are 57 years old, driving a beat to shit Prius for a living that's painted two colors and call a taxi cab, you do not need to make any statements to me about your lifestyle via the nails or via the recline on the seat or even via whatever jewelry or watch you may be wearing. I know everything about you. You're picking me up at the airport. That's all I need to know about you. You're 61, and I'm going to pay you $17 to drive me somewhere.
You could have been a doctor in this country.
That's all. That's all I need to know. But yes, yeah. That guy on the way out, I don't have a picture on the way back. I was too tired. On the way out, guy seat, full recline. Mm-hmm. You can go to adamcarolla.com and have a look-see. On the way back this morning, I'm on the driver's side in the back now. Another Prius. Driver's side seat slid way back. Like the guy was using the passenger seat like as his office or
that's
something.
Worse.
Seat way back. It's yeah. like... All you do is pick up people. That's all you do is put people in the back of your miniature car. Why on earth would that seat be slid so far back? Why would it be reclined? Like, you have a miniature car that full-size human beings get in the back of, and that's what you do for a living. And you've not
and
worked
this
out this
mode.
Seat
yeah.
thing. It's weird, right? So I guess, so the moral of the story is, if this is what you do for a living, then you're completely out of it. Mm. And when you're out of it, you're just out of it.
Yep.
Like that, it just, and it translates to everything, yeah. even what you do, right?
Well, and it does seem to be sort of an offshoot of, you know, like the TSA or whoever doesn't feel like they have power in their life that needs some. This is my domain. This is my castle. Mm. I'll put my seat where I please.
Well, I wonder, you know, I think maybe in a weird way, cab driver, it's out of it, but an autonomous out of it.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is
you spend a lot of time in yeah. your own car.
If you work, you know, you can be 61 and you can work at a hot dog on a stick or a Wendy's, or you can work at a bad hotel, or, you know, you can have a Home Depot, but you can't go, I'm doing my own thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, hey man, I stack my 2x4s vertically. Like, I don't do them horizontally. Like, you can't. Like, you're there. You're in a system. You know what I mean? Like, you can't go, I do my burgers. I put the ketchup on the outside of the bun. Like, you can't do that. You have a shit job and you're forced just to conform, right?
You're a cog.
I like this character, freeform jazz Wendy's employee. Hey, man.
A
lot of people do one pickle.
Beating it. Yes. But if you drive a cab, you can be a loser on Loser Island. It's your own Loser Island. You get to go, hey man, I'm 61, I'm a loser, but I don't have my manager in the back seat, like telling me what to do with my seat or what yeah. shit I can hang yeah. from the rearview mirror or what stupid soca music I can listen to in the fucking stereo. Like I'm on Loser Island. Like I'm 61. Yes, I make $41,000 a year, but I do it on my own terms.
My own boss. Can't
I'm my own
that.
Boss. This thing. The cab's going to smell weird yep. like me. I'm going to have weird idiosyncratic things. Like I'll eat crackers like Quint from Jaws. Like this guy was nibbling on a cracker the entire time. Worst driver ever. Almost got in three accidents, but one hand was cracker hand.
His tummy was happy.
The whole time.
Cracker.
Committed to the cracker.
You can put up your own Christmas lights.
Right. It's weird. So I think the cab driver is the gig where you go, yes, I'm a loser. Yes, nothing has worked out. But no, I do not take orders. Like, I am my own retarded piper that I dance to, and I will do things my own way. Because in cabs, again, you can see 60-year-old guys in loser jobs all over the place, but they still have to wear the name tag and the vest.
May I help you?
And there's just a weird protocol. And if you're working at the Starbucks at the airport, sorry, you have to do things the way Starbucks do. As soon as you get out on loser island, you have autonomy.
Yeah.
You get to go
float
do your own thing. Yeah. And those guys are all doing their own thing. Like, and it's this weird thing where it's like, nobody loves me, I don't make any money, I don't have any insurance, and I hope I die soon, but I do it on my own terms, man.
Yeah,
I don't have a boss. You should actually hope you have a boss and a decent job rather than the world's worst job. Like,
otherwise you're spinning out.
But they're donkeys that just roam the desert that don't have bosses, but they don't have great lives. They're just They don't have a boss.
Have you ever talked to Ray about maybe going into the taxi profession? Because that might be a decent job for him.
He did get a Prius, which is weird.
We have the
first step.
And by the way, if Ray can have a Prius, now officially anyone can own a Prius.
He was the last
person. Yeah. Anyone can have a Prius now. All right, a couple of quick phone calls, and then we'll bring Jeff in, and we got the Rotten Tomatoes game to play. I'm excited. Hey, Tom, 31, Florida.
Ace, man. What's going on, brother?
What's going on, man?
Not much. I just wanted to see, you guys were talking about eating French fries plain, and it got me to thinking. I found out that if you just put a little bit of lime juice on really crispy French fries, it's delicious. So do you guys have any other kind of random combinations that you don't think people know about that taste delicious?
Interesting. I don't, yeah.
Yeah, no, I we're kidding about it, but I love barbecue sauce on French fries. It's not that exotic, but I love dipping barbecue sauce into French fries, or French fries into barbecue.
Well, I didn't know this was abnormal until I left home and realized nobody had ever heard of it, and they thought it was disgusting. But my dad, our entire life, we always, like, the dip of choice, we always scoop potato chips with cottage cheese. You just scoop that up.
Yep.
Really delicious. But the one I've never done that my dad's been doing his entire life is taking a piece of American cheese and rolling it up.
I'm out already.
And dipping it into his black coffee.
Oh.
He's been doing that.
What
his, not my entire life. His entire life.
Oh, first off, American cheese is not cheese.
Correct.
And there's one application and one application only for American cheese. Oh, sorry. Two applications and two applications only, which is as cheese on a cheeseburger. Still not preferable for
but
me, but it works. And old school grilled cheese when you're a kid, like white bread style.
It melts easily.
Yes. But
I feel like I'm forgetting some.
That's a weird one.
Yep.
Tom?
Damn. Do you have one, Tom?
Well, he had the lime juice, which I'm going to
try. Have you ever tried that? It's delicious. I've never heard of anybody ever having it, but anytime I suggest it to people, they say it's fantastic.
There's a breakfast place by my house called John O'Groats, and they have an omelet with chicken and mozzarella and marinara, and it's wonderful. Wonderful.
You can eat an omelet with chicken in it. That's not like considered the vendetta to you of the mother and the child.
No.
Okay.
You're right.
Yeah, it freaks me out.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the mozzarella is the thing. You can make it with anything.
I'm not freaked out. Chicken is a weird protein for omelets.
Yeah.
For me.
All right.
I love chicken.
Sorry, the marinara. Marinara and eggs.
I like. Yes. Hey, Pete, 28, Florida.
How's it going? Hey,
good
Paul,
man.
Gina?
Yeah, man.
All right, so just a little pointer as well about how come the brothers may have the longer nails.
Yes.
As a blonde-haired, blue-eyed man. As I heard from an older black man back when I was younger, that it's because maybe in the 60s and 70s, the fathers maybe kind of left and there's only a mother in the home. She wore the earrings and had long nails.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why they tote the earrings and long nails.
I can tell you, though, I've only given a manicure to one person in my entire life because I didn't really know what I was doing, and it was a black man.
I've seen black guys with clear on. I've seen white guys. I'm just saying, by the way, not every difference is sort of a pejorative. I'm just saying, in general, the brothers, look, here's what I'm saying. male, heterosexual, male, white guys. I've never met one that had any thoughts about his nails whatsoever, good, bad, or in between. Like, never worked on them, never talked about it, never done anything. I have noticed some brothers putting some time in. I don't know where it comes from, but that's my that's my experience.
Especially when playing basketball, is I get cut all the time from the brothers who got these extra long nails, and it's only the brothers that cut me.
Is that is that true, Pete? Is that what happens?
Yeah. Anyways.
All right. So what's going on?
So the Steelers apparently the coach Tomlin he's going to make all the players stay in the locker room for the national anthem. So there is nobody forcing to kneel, you know, like he doesn't want anybody to kneel or do this. So do you think that's the future of sports is just not to put the athletes in position to scare away fans and money?
Shut up.
That's Damashek. Yeah. So I was in Chicago this morning, and the Steelers have arrived to Chicago. Right. They're playing in Chicago, so there's a lot of guys walking around with Steelers hats and jackets and jerseys and whatnot. So I feel uniquely qualified to speak to this.
Because you saw some Steelers jerseys.
Both sides are a little bit stupid with this. First things first. When I hear the story about the Pee Wee football team and the 8-year-olds, you know, turning their back to the flag and taking a knee and not, you know, whatever, I don't like it. Now, okay, here's why I don't like that. I don't like that. It's nothing to do with the past or slavery or honoring or the soldiers or anything. I don't like indoctrinating kids into things.
Yes. An 8-year-old can't make that decision to protest something he doesn't agree with philosophically.
Except nap time.
You're right.
Listen, there's plenty of mothers who are out there. I had one of them where it's like you'd have a hot dog and they'd go, do you know what's it? There's nitrates in that hot dog. There's chemicals in that hot dog. There's carcinogens in that hot dog. You know what that's doing to your body when you're eating? And it's like, just let the goddamn 9-year-old have the fucking hot dog, bitch. Just let him enjoy the fucking hot dog. And then they start explaining to you what everything is doing to you around you, that whatever. Hey, look, it's a million years old. When I was a kid, it was like, don't sit too close to the TV set. Now, our TV set was 9 inches in black and white, so you could actually sit on it and it wouldn't kick off anything. But it's like, if it's a color TV, like, don't get too close to the... No! You know what you...
The radiation.
Just taking...
It's like a cross-eyed.
Yeah.
I had the mom that was sort of explaining that by the year 2000, we're going to be living underground, that we'll be out of fossil fuels.
Nuclear
war. That there's going to be a movie called Thunderdome that really explains exactly the kind of society we're all going to be driving dune buggies and killing each other. And I remember as a 9-year-old going, oh, shit, I just want to get a car and go cruising.
That's,
you know,
it's like, hot dog, go get a car.
No, you won't. Taking kids. Now, me thinking that the hot dog had carcinogens or that the microwave oven was kicking off radiation or whatever it is, that's not great. But taking a bunch of 8-year-old kids and explaining to them that we live in a very racist society and they have a target on their back and there's a lot, you know, terms of the justice system and the cops and everyone's gunning for you, it'll ruin your childhood. And it's not an accurate portrayal of our society. This notion of, well, don't tell me this doesn't exist. Yes, don't tell me it doesn't exist is not the same as it being prevalent. Is it affecting you? Look, thousands of kids drown in swimming pools every year. It kills a lot of kids. I put a goddamn swimming pool in my backyard so that my kids could enjoy the swimming pool. So you can say to me, well, don't tell me that doesn't kill a bunch of... Yes, it does. But there's also a version where you enjoy it. And racism exists, but you can enjoy it, like me and my white family.
Wait, what?
No. What I'm saying is, we are quickly blurring the lines between, you know, it's like the Klan or the Nazis. Yes, there are Nazi groups in America, but they're so small that they can barely be tabulated. So here's what I'm saying. Bed bugs. are an issue. But if they were everywhere and in your bed and your kids' beds, your life would be severely impacted in a very negative way. I there are more bed bugs than there are Nazis. What I'm saying is not in my neighborhood, not in my house, and I don't go out and expect. I just got back from a hotel. I didn't experience any bed bugs.
Or Nazis.
Nor did I fear either one of them. So what I'm saying is kids, they can't do the math.
Right.
If you tell your kids there's bed bugs everywhere, don't bother counting, they're going to lay down in bed and they're going to start rolling around and they're going to start scratching on themselves and they're not going to get a good night's sleep. And so for me, this right to protest and the right to express yourself and the right to everything, fine, I'm all for it. Don't indoctrinate these kids. Don't have another group of young black kids grow up thinking that our society is gunning for them. There's been plenty in the past that thought that, and rightfully so. But it's 2017. They're 8-year-olds. Let's not indoctrinate them into that.
Comes a fait accompli.
Yes. So as far as the, like, you know, and all the, you know, obviously, it's, I believe these things just become they become like the ALS like ice bucket challenge. I don't know that anyone thinks about it, knows about it, whatever. I just believe everyone just sort of jumps on. Everyone's a hero. I would say whatever country you're in, face to fly. Every country has a ton of baggage. Every nation that's established, by virtue of being established, has a bunch of people that they stepped on along the way. Hopefully they've evolved past that, for your own peace of mind,
but
stare at the flag and play the game.
We have this for news, but we don't have to do it. But, I think now people who had no intention of taking a knee or not being there or whatever, now it's personal because Trump called them all son of a bitches. You know, now they're poking the hornet's nest. Now they're going, oh yeah, well, I wasn't part of this, but I am now.
He called all the flag kneelers.
We could actually. Do you have the clip?
You'll save it for news?
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't know if you wanted to go back to this.
Well, it's a big story.
Look, the thing is this. I've always been wired this way. There are real problems, and those real problems should be focused on. And then there's all the other stuff argue about and spend our time talking about. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm an atheist who goes, you have a very finite amount of time on this planet. Let's spend it on the stuff that makes sense. But all right. So, Pete, they're staying in the locker room for the national anthem because of what? Is he up? Pete, are you there?
Politics.
Sorry, Pete. We were
politics.
Is he making a statement?
No, he's trying to make it so the players do not have the opportunity to kneel so they don't scare away fans, I'm assuming.
I don't think that sounds right.
Tomlin's basically saying that he respects the rights of all of his players to make a stand and do whatever they want, but whatever they're going to do, they're going to do it as a team, so he's keeping the whole team off the field during the national
anthem. But once again, listen, here's the deal. It's all based on the myth that white cops execute black people. Statistically, there's nothing to back that up. Everybody, we've wove this story over and over again. Statistically, there's nothing to back that up. They shoot more white people than they shoot black people. Mark Geragos has a huge case of a guy being executed in Arizona, but nobody talks about it. It's not part of the narrative. I know I sound like an insane person. Black people do not have to, statistically do not have to worry about being killed by cops. Statistically, they need to worry about being killed by other black people. Statistically. So if you're going to focus on something, that is a bigger problem to focus on. Now, if you want to go pure symbolism, then you can focus on cops. That's fine, but I don't like to go pure symbolism because I like to work statistically because it solves problems. The symbolism doesn't solve problems. No one will talk that way. The news doesn't report things that way, and we're all just insane. All right, sorry. Jason, 35, Washington, D.C.
Adam.
What's going on?
What's going on?
We're on the subject. Yeah, go ahead.
Kind of in the same vein of what the previous caller was talking about, the national anthem. It seems like ESPN is sort of pushing this really hard, and I'm kind of curious as to when they became CNN. Everything on ESPN now is a social issue and a public issue, not sports, not just sports. That's what it was. The network was there for. When did it become a news outlet?
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of this going down. I sort of agree. I don't like it when restaurants do this. I don't like it when ESPN does it. I there's plenty of room for politics, but it doesn't have to be ubiquitous. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be everywhere all the time. It's sort of why I don't like the 8-year-olds kneeling. It's like, look, there's nothing better than peewee football. I love peewee. Just go pad up, suit up, go clean someone's clock out of there. Go concuss another 8-year-old.
Yay.
Just go enjoy yourself. Just play. Do we have to talk? There's everything. It's kind of with the award thing,
right?
Show too. It's like, just do the award show, you know, just
congratulate each other.
Let's not have
pretty
everything be about politics. Yeah. And so I agree. ESPN, show me the sports. And look, there's occasion when you have, Samuel or what's his name? Sorry. Peters or whatever his name is, the first gay, openly gay, the Rams. Samuels. Whatever it is. Look.
Michael Sam.
Thank you.
The first openly gay college players is being drafted by the Los Angeles Rams. Okay. Well, don't not say he's gay. Mm-hmm. That's a story. Yeah. We don't have to turn it into an hour long it, 30 for 30, but it's just, okay, that's part of the story, mm-hmm. part of the information. Sure. Don't run away from it. If Caitlyn Jenner is undergoing a sexual reassignment surgery or something, you can bring it up or they can be interviewed or whatever, but let's not politicize everything.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying.
I heard a lot about this recently. People complaining that they're getting too into social issues and politics and whatever. I heard a lot about that. But are they now compelled to be more political now that the president is openly addressing sports? You know what I mean?
I don't think anyone.
Like, no, it's their hand forced, I guess.
I don't think anyone's hand is forced, and I don't think anyone is compelled. I think you have a roster of games that's played every week, and you can report on that. I mean, as they did for the last 30 years, just with all that's going on. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like whatever goes on in society, you go here to watch the sports. Look, they can do it however they want to do it. But what I'm saying is just give me the scores and I'll take some commentary and some player profiles and stuff like that. But you don't have to take a turn for the political.
Point of information, I'll just say, because you have been on a plane and working the last 24 hours. Every NFL owner has come out with a statement on kind of supporting the players or kind of just being like, my players have a right to blah, blah, blah. So
and now other sports, by the way.
Now it's out there. You kind of have to address
it. It's baseball. It's
somehow.
Basketball. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Last call. Is it Vinder?
Vinder.
From Vinder, Toronto. Vinder. What's going on?
Okay. Can we talk more about pussy? Can't bump the news?
Huh? Yeah. What?
That was the best line you've ever said, ever.
What'd I say?
Like, you're talking about men building bridges and building, roads. And you said if women had to do it, they'd build a canoe made out of tampons.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
that was one of the best
tampon canoe.
But honestly, I'm doing a new thing now.
Good indie band
called the pre-honk.
Pre-honk. Let's hear it.
So I look through the back window and I see if they're on their phone, and the left signal is about to turn. I honk about 1 second before it turns.
That's good.
I'm a big fan of this pre-honk. Christy, not a big fan, hates it quite a bit, but I do it all the time. If the person's looking down or on the phone, whatever, just give a little, just look up.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. But
this will get them on time.
Yeah, people hate being in the car, but especially the worst. What I do is I sit in the passenger seat and reach over and honk Lynette's horn for her, so the person flicks her off.
Hey, bitch!
Yeah,
that's kind of aggressive.
Mouthy broad.
So the pre-honk, I like it.
Yeah, no, you just look through the window, and you can see, okay, this guy's on his phone, this guy's not paying attention.
I agree. We got a break. I want to say this. I watched some 10-minute video on if, connected to this, not the honking, but if you use the left lane on a highway or freeway just as a passing lane, how much more efficient traffic movement is. Mm. How insanely more efficient traffic movement is if you simply just have that left lane for passing. Again, don't have to add a left lane. We already have the left lane. All we need to do is get the information out there. And yet,
well, there is some efficient modality.
Not interested.
But what's the newest one? Seatbelts for our future?
Car seats.
Car seats.
Do it for their future.
Christ, it's just information. It's so insane. It's insane that our city works this way, or any city. It's like the left lane, because what causes a ton of traffic is people driving too slow in the left lane, people coming up behind them and having to move over, which causes a lot of accidents. But the people that have to move over just 5 miles an hour slower than traffic when you're in the left lane screws everybody up. Have you ever heard it discussed? Like, it's just weird. It's like we made some fucking deal with Beelzebub, which is we cannot talk about going faster or being more efficient. Every discussion we must have when it comes to traffic must be about safety and slowing down.
Wildly inefficient.
All right. Oh, speaking of traffic, Forza Motorsport 7 on Xbox One, October 3rd. It's coming out exclusively for Xbox One and Windows 10. Collect and race 700-plus cars, including Le Mans. The Le Mans winning Shelby Cobra Daytona Coupe from back in the day. Pete Brock built that. Still around, by the way. Ford, the Ford GT40, as seen in my movie, The 24-Hour War. Gorgeous graphics, 4K resolution, 60 frames per second. I think if you go online, I'm in the new Forza online spot. You can find me there somewhere. 30 famous destinations, including Laguna Seca. Was just there. Sonoma was just there. Long Beach, it's been about a year and a half. Watkins Glen, never been there, want to go there. Legendary Monza and Nürburgring. Buy the digital version and get the Hoonigan car pack featuring Ken Block. We know Ken Block. And his 1965 Mustang Unicorn for free. You can see him doing insane things online with that Unicorn Mustang. Anyway, Forza Motorsport 7 out October 3rd. All right. Jeff Meacham. I want to say that right. Jeff Meacham is here. We're going to play the game, right? We're going to play Rotten Tomatoes. We'll bring Jeff in.
Themed around one of Jeff's favorite actors.
Ooh.
Oh, I think, well, I don't want to give away, but I think it's Tom Cruise, right? Maybe I gave it away. Jeff will be in. We'll play the game right after this.
From producer Dick Wolf. A new kind of Law & Order series based on true crimes.
Two counts of murder have been filed against Lyle and Eric Menendez.
The story of one family.
Everybody thinks we were this perfect family, but we were a disaster.
And the crime that shocked America.
What these boys did is not the issue. It's why they did it.
Edie Falco stars in Law & Order True Crime, The Menendez Murders. Tomorrow on NBC.
Of the year, Dave's recapping hockey.
It's fun.
Broadcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fan. Welcome to Podcast One Sports presentation of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there. Another week of sports to kibitz about. How are you, Ace?
Ready and primed to kibitz.
All right, let's do it. You know what? We tackle the game. We tackle the games that we watch on our TVs and in the stadiums, but also the game of life. Let's do it all right here in a brand new segment, Ace, that we are going to call Upon Further Review. Now, let's start with the last Thursday night football game. The Rams and the Niners, a surprising dandy. Let's start here. The uniforms, the color rush uniforms, the Rams. How say initially, I didn't like them. Upon further review, I do. How say you?
You know, it's interesting. You need the build for the uniforms. The uniforms that were all monochromatic back in the day, you know, in the 20s and the 30s, and the striped socks and the thin sheer socks and the anything but white socks and all that sort of stuff don't look good on 173-pound white guys. But when you're built, when you got the build, you know, it's weird. We talk about the uniform, but what about the man in the uniform? Like,
yes.
Michael Jackson once sung about, what about the man in the mirror?
Mm.
When you take a guy with bulging calf muscles and big upper arms and you do it right, the uniform is pretty damn forgiving. It's
yeah, I suppose you're right about that. Conversely, I don't like the Niners. I stand by my initial assessment there. It looks like if you remember Texas Tech when Michael Crabtree was there, that's what they wear black shirts, black pants, and then they have a gold hat on. It's like they forgot to bring their uniforms to the stadium, and they're like, anybody got some spare? Yeah, the high school team played the other day in the all black. Just give us those. They look fine.
Yeah, and back to the helmet and the not the color, not the hue, but the sheen on the helmet. I don't know if you feel strongly about this. I feel we're living in an era of two dull and bass lures on guys' heads that are winking at me. When I see the Minnesota Vikings, they have flattened their helmets out. They're now Dullsville. There's a saying called a shiny new car. Oh, Bob up the street got a shiny new Cadillac. I don't know what all the matte finish and the eggshell finish is, but I don't like it.
You're not a fan. I'm confused about that. I'm not
Minnesota
ready.
Minnesota Vikings, yeah. When I was a kid and I'd watched the Minnesota Vikings on TV, their helmets were so glossy and videotape was so new that it would leave a weird trailer, like you took acid or something.
That's
when
right.
They walked
that
around.
Would happen. Right.
You'd see the horn on the side of the Viking. It didn't work with all the teams. Like, it didn't work with the Browns or something like that, and even your Steelers. But the Vikings, for some reason, they'd walk around and you'd see a weird videotape trail to it, like you're high on mescaline.
It's weird that it's not true anymore in the NFL, I don't think, but it used to be there were uniform things that were specific to teams like the Vikings. Remember, they all had black shoes and they were the same black shoes. And like we've talked about, the Vikings and Chiefs players all had those weird face masks, and it had to be coming from a different manufacturer than the rest of the league.
Here we go, Sheck.
I love that.
There was one other team. Now, what we're talking about, couple things. All right, hold on. Glad you brought this up. Want to circle back and say there are other teams in college, especially, whose helmets are too shiny. They look anodized chrome.
Oh, yeah, now, that's a new thing.
That's
they go the
too
other
much.
Way, right.
That's too. I don't want flat. I don't want too shiny. I'd like to meet in the middle. Now, as far as the face masks go, couple things. You used to be able to tell what position the guy played by the face mask. The quarterback had the drop face
that's
mask.
That's so true, yeah.
The kicker had the single bar. The interior lineman had the full bird cage. The fullback had the small bird cage, like just four bars made a cross. Mm-hmm. The interior guys had the deeper bird cage. Then there would be the center, who often had the drop cage, but it was open like Dick Butkus in the middle. And then you'd have the wild card, which is the Larry Zonka the Larry Zonka one, who had the drop cage with the bull ring that was in the front.
Yeah, right, the bull ring. Why doesn't somebody bring that back?
Also, I miss the guys. I think Joe Willie had one of these. There are a few other guys in the league who had the modified face mask. These, the snake, Ken Stabler, his entire career had a just regular birdcage, just regular linebacker style face, but the center bar hacksaw it off. As if they didn't have the technology to configure a wire in the shape that would be beneficial to a quarterback. He had his. His was cut off. There'd be guys hacking away and cutting away. This is in the 70s and the 80s in professional football. These are like, these weren't rodeo clowns from Tijuana.
I know, it's so weird. Like, and got, it's funny because, yeah, that was the face mask. They're doing that manually, they or the equipment manager. Hey, Chip, you know, saw off that middle bar for me. Like, you don't see that anymore. And you don't see, also, remember, like, when the...
Well, it's important if somebody tries to tackle you that they get tetanus. Because there was, because the other part was covered by rubber, but that was just a little rusty part in the middle. So, wait a minute. The teams that had the weird flat face mask, they were the same kind of thing. Think Purple People Eater. Think Minnesota Vikings front four. They had the drop. They had, you said the Vikings?
Chiefs, I remember. Because Mike Chiefs. Livingston
yeah,
was
one
the
other
QB.
Team, had. One other team with half a team. One and a half other teams. Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
The Detroit Lions.
Oh, yes.
Had
correct.
That as well.
That's right.
And the half a team were the Miami Dolphins because Bob Greasy had the lower one, and so did Larry Zonka. Who, by the way, you got to pull up the pictures because we're going to laugh. James Von Prague is the gay Larry Zonka. And I'm not saying James Von Prague is gay. I'm saying he is the gay Larry Zonka.
I understand you what you mean. Yeah,
those two.
It's one of your favorite and most spot-on references. Yeah, I always I like how that looked. We've talked before. I love Theismann. He was an NFL QB in the 80s, mind you. This wasn't like 1924 or anything.
No chin strap.
He had a single bar at some point. I mean, that was that courageous stuff out of him. The Dolphins remind me, though. This was not a century ago. This was during our lives. The equipment managers for the Dolphins couldn't find turquoise elbow pads, so they would just wear green. Remember that?
Right.
It didn't match.
Right.
It was like, there's no store that can make you an aqua-colored one of those deals.
There is not.
And they would wear basketball shoes because of the AstroTurf was ubiquitous in the 80s. They would wear high-top basketball shoes to run on those.
They invented... We're looking at James Von Prague and Larry Zonka.
It's so right. He's even got the chin cleft. It's a little off on the wrong side, but still.
They invented AstroTurf 4 years before they invented shoes for AstroTurf. And nobody knew. There are guys out there in PF Flyers. There are guys out there in weird AstroTurfy that had the weird serrated thing. Yeah, it was a mess.
And
all
also,
right.
and Walter Payton was, talk about a weird shoe brand for an all-time superstar in sports. Walter Payton wore Ruse. During
Ruse,
the greatest running back of all time. What's your shoe? Ruse! Doesn't seem like that was...
I'll bet you also now, if you think about it, like his deal was probably $39,000 or something, if you think about
it. That's right, yeah. All right, so we'll wrap it up there. I've got... Go ahead, Ace. Go ahead.
Well, we started by talking about the last Thursday night in the Rams.
Oh, yeah.
I, as a Rams fan, went to the gym, stepped onto the treadmill... Never get the TV to work right on my treadmill, so I have to watch the treadmill next to me, which had the Rams game on.
Oh, I'm vain enough to think that that's only me who gets the treadmill where the TV won't tune in. That happens to other human beings.
Yeah, it happens to me, so now I have to invade the space of the treadmill next to me. Luckily, Asian guy keeps to himself. I'm watching his... Right, I step on the thing. Rams are...
Whoa, what are you doing changing the channel there? Come on, I'm watching that.
It's 41... I believe it's 41-26 with like 7 minutes left in the game when I tune in and I go, all right, first play of the game, San Francisco goes deep, wide out, beats receiver, catches over the shoulder ball and pushes it to like the 4-yard line, which is number one. You're up 41-26. There's 6.5 minutes left in the game. Try not to let the receiver get behind you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird thing. Like, how many years have you played football? Like, hey, he did a stop and go at the, you know, 6 yards out, you bit on it.
I always like the helper DB who points at his teammate like, yeah. Hey, you were supposed to have that guy. Thanks, helper.
Yes. The guy gets behind. They score quickly. Mm-hmm. Then they do an onside kick. They get that. Then they score again. Then I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Are they going to lose this game? There was a horrible offensive interference sort of
really
pushing
bad,
off.
Yes.
Like, he didn't even extend his arms. If you're a San Francisco fan, you should be outraged by that penalty. Then it became 4th and 20 and forget about it. But they should have won that game.
Keep your eye on the prize, Niners. What you want is the first overall pick so you can get Sam Darnold out of USC. So consider that loss a victory.
All right, let's bring it home.
Ace, next time we do, if you like, upon further review, the next subject, music.
All right.
That are going to upset you very badly,
okay, too.
I can say in advance they're going to upset you. All right, that's it for this edition, Good Sports Podcast 1 Sports.
Thank you, and welcome back. Jeff Meacham here, Black-ish, name of the show. Season 4 premieres Tuesday, October 3rd, 9 o'clock on ABC. Congratulations, man.
Thanks, guys.
Show's doing great, all over the Emmys. Anthony Anderson all over the place. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's everywhere right now.
He's kind of always been everywhere, but he's more places now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there was a point when I first got the show and I met Anthony, I was like, oh yeah, the funny dude from Me, Myself, and Irene or Transformers and stuff. And now I feel like he's got to that status. Am I wrong? Like, I feel like Anthony's A-list now. Like,
he
everybody
knows. You can
knows.
Say his name and not say that guy from.
Oh, totally. Yeah, exactly. You can say Anthony Anderson. Everybody knows who you're talking about.
The game, now we're going to play the Rotten Tomatoes game, which
I'm very excited.
I'm excited about and in love with. And I know you love Tom Cruise.
I do, deeply.
I am.
Ironically, or you like you genuinely enjoy his work?
Oh my! He is. Come on, guys.
He's offended that you asked.
If Tom Cruise walked in this room above anybody, actors specifically, mm-hmm. actors. If he walked in this room right now or any room, he would. He would blow everybody's mind. Like, he's Tom Cruise. He's the last of a breed of the true A-list old school Hollywood stars.
He's a movie star.
Thank you. That's exactly right. He walks into a room and it changes. It to me, I would remember it for the rest of my life.
I lost a lot of respect for the man when I saw him over at Kimmel's for a football Sunday.
All right.
Two things. He had a driver, but did not drink. And I don't respect a guy who hires a car and does not get fucking lit.
I get that.
Like,
I get
my
that.
Whole thing is like, you must drink. I don't care if it's a funeral.
Yeah.
I don't care if these, I don't care if it's a bris. I don't care if these are dignitaries. It's a procession. If you are in the back seat, if you hire an automobile, he showed up. It was the greatest day of my life. It was the greatest day of my life.
Yeah,
I was drunk. The doorbell rang on Kimmel's old house. I slid to it like he did in his socks in Risky Business, and I opened the door, and it was Tom and Tom's mom, and they presented me with a box of Sprinkles cupcakes.
Amazing.
Amazing.
See, that's the other thing too. Whenever I talk to, because people now all know, and now where I'm in my career, everybody knows that I love Tom Cruise. There's never a time that someone doesn't just say, "Oh yeah, when I met Tom, I was like, he's a good guy." There's always a story. There's always some legendary moment that you hear about, or you'll just hear someone be like, "Yeah, that fucking guy just blew my mind, man." And everybody I ask now, they have a story. He's just Tom Cruise, man.
When are you going to get your story?
I'm a little nervous now. Like, now I feel like I want to wait until everything. I don't know.
Gary, there's a picture of him presiding over an argument between Cousin Sal and Jeff Ross in Jimmy's kitchen. Do you guys know that story?
This is the Allison Nixon picture of our era.
Yeah.
Jeff Ross did Dancing with the Stars.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Jimmy has everyone on as a guest after they get thrown off the show. So when you get thrown off of Dancing with the Stars, I don't know, tapes at 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. And when you get thrown off, you just get in a town car, getting drunk,
yep.
And you go right to Kimmel's theater.
Amazing.
And you're the guest. And Jeff was like up on the chopping block. It was like between Jeff and, you know, Marsha Brady or whoever, whatever A-lister I'm making fun of. I was on the show too, but there was Jeff, the other guy, and Cousin Sal told Jeff as a Kimmel insider, like, don't worry, man, you're safe this week. And he was not safe.
Oh,
and the look stuff. On Jeff's face, like what they said when they called his name.
Oh.
And Jeff, who's the roast comedian, but who's a fairly sensitive guy, was not cool with Cousin Sal and his tomfoolery and chicanery.
Who, by the way, is one of my heroes, Cousin Sal. I've fallen in love with the man. I've fallen in love with all of you guys over the last.
There's nothing not to love about Cousin Sal, but when Tom Cruise showed up at Jimmy's house, he was forced to render a judgment between who was right and who was wrong, Cousin Sal. And I don't know where that picture went to, Gary. I feel like we should have it if we don't have it.
Yeah, I'm having trouble finding it here. Should I reach out to Sal directly?
Yeah, tell him if he has it. He can He can send it to us. But he ended up sort of refereeing.
And rendering a verdict.
And rendering a verdict in the kitchen.
Wow.
So, Jeff, sorry.
No, man.
How good is it to be on a successful TV show like Black-ish in terms of your life, your schedule?
I mean, it changed my life. I just bought a house. Like,
You renovated a house.
Yeah, I bought a house. I mean,
did you do it? Did you renovate it?
No, I mean, I called my dad and I was like, Dad, I got a lot of work I need to do on the house. And my dad's old school New England, you know, construction worker. He's like, all right, I'll fly out on Sunday. And he helped me for a month.
He flew out.
Yeah, man.
Like
and
your
he
dad.
Stayed there.
Stayed with. And my dad is.
You know, Jim Carolla?
Yeah.
I have young kids, and my dad just doesn't. He's old school. So, like, he was like, every morning we're up at 6, we're out the door. And I was like, oh, Dad, I got to get the food and take the kids to school. What about 9? And he was like, 9's lunch. And I was like,
yeah.
Totally different worlds. But yeah, man, every day we'd get up and we'd go to the house and work on stuff and rebuilt a few rooms.
What is his profession?
My dad?
Yeah.
He was a sheet metal mechanic for 40 years, and now he's retired, and he's a fisherman out of Mystic, Connecticut. That's what he does.
So he would do sheet metal fabrication?
Specifically, he was a heating and air conditioning guy on the jobs.
HVAC!
Yeah. So he's the one that every time, anywhere you go with him, especially back in the day, he'd look up at the ductwork and be like, oh, and see all the, you know, exposed. And he's like, you know what that is, Jeff Boy, and that's this. And, you know, and I have no idea what he's talking about. But very much, you know, on the trade back in the day. I know he worked on the World Trade Center years ago. I thought that was kind of his claim to fame.
Yeah, I never really thought, like, you want a dad whose field of expertise is like the Marianas Trench, where it's like, he can identify species of squid that only live beneath 20,000 feet of sea because you don't have to fucking ever deal with it.
Yeah.
But if you deal with a guy who does flooring and carpet everywhere you go, every movie theater, every restaurant, you look down and go, well, somebody didn't solder joint well on that. You can see it's coming up. You can see linoleum starting to peel up there. Probably didn't go.
Wherever you go,
he just look at everything. Mm-hmm. And since every building you set foot in has heating and air,
everything has heating and air,
then every single building, your entire childhood is him pointing shit out.
Jeff Boy, that's a 30-ton, and then you'd point out something up on the top of the building and be like, cool, I have no idea. You know, I want to be an actor. And he's like, oh, pussy.
You're only allowed to meet him at the Alamo from now on.
Yes.
No heating, no air.
You had like a Zoolander upbringing with the dad in the mines.
I got the black lung pop.
All right, so the game. So your dad is HVAC guy, but he does everything else.
Yeah, man. You know, I mean, again, he's a 75-year-old guy. So
he came out, and you guys did. How much did you do to your house?
How much did we do? It was the house had a lot of weird quirks to it, and what I mean is like certain rooms. It's built in the 1950s, just renovations throughout the years, and then people half-ass stuff. So there's a room that still looked like it was in the 1950s. Meanwhile, we have one of those cheesy electric fireplaces, you know, super upgraded in certain areas, not in others. So like specifically the guest bedroom, we redid that whole room. We ripped out the sheetrock. You know, put everything back in, redid the floors.
Did Dad stay with you guys?
Yeah, yeah, of course. And my old man is, but my old man is old school. I'm not kidding you. Like, sleeping on the couch means nothing to him. He is, he likes to be alone. He doesn't really, he's just, yeah, I'll sleep on the, you know, in our old place, we lived, you know, down by Olympic and Highland, and there was, we only had a 2-bedroom, and we have 2 kids. So he was like, yeah, I'll sleep on the couch. I'll be up before them. And
I love those dads.
I know, man. I love he really is the best. And he is, I promise you, he's that dad. He's got 3 sons. All of us are weenie artists and what have you. And he still will show up for us out of nowhere, buy a plane ticket, just be there and help out. He's the best. He's the best.
Love Dad. All right. Should we play the game? Mm-hmm. We got a theme song. We got a theme. It's Tom Cruise, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Listen to that. It's a high falsetto voice that can only mean one thing, and you can feel it. Gossip names are flicks, and the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh. If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus 5. It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
All right, so this is all Cruise movies, and we're picking the score, the average critic's score. Not top critics, not people, just the average critic's score.
All right, our first movie has Tom Cruise as Captain Nathan Algren, his American military officer. Hired by the Emperor of Japan to train the country's first army in the art of modern warfare. 2003's The Last Samurai.
Oh, are you going to want to write down your answer?
All right.
James Mangold, I think.
Well, who directed it?
Yeah.
I've.
Maybe. I'm always bad with directors.
I have no idea on this movie. I remember. Well, it was a book, right?
Edward Zwick.
Edward Zwick. There it is. Yeah.
Was it a book? Or am I making that up?
They're all books.
They're all books.
Yeah, it looks like it was a book.
And I sort of remember it being a big thing. Like, hey, it was a book, and now we finally made it in the movie. But then it was a lot, much ado about the movie, but then it didn't really pan out. So
it was the big reveal of Ken Watanabe. That was his kind of breakout.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to say the critics didn't hate it. I'm going to say they didn't love it. I didn't hear a lot about it, but probably had a lot of nice period garb. 66%.
68%.
56%.
64%.
Mm. Well, someone's on the nose. Mm. And his name is Adam Carolla.
Oh, yeah, it is.
The Last Samurai is fresh at 66%.
I'll take a little credit, too. I was 2% off.
No, you're screwed because that means he gets a 5-point deduction.
I get a 5-point deduction.
You get nothing.
You said 64?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
No, he said 66.
You heard me wrong.
Our next movie, I've never seen it.
Blasphemy.
One random day in San Fernando Valley, a dying father, a young wife, a male caretaker, a famous lost son, a police officer, love, a boy genius, an ex-boy genius, a game show host, and a strange daughter will each become part of a dazzling multiplicity of plots. But one story... 1999's Magnolia.
How do you shake your... How does a human being do that?
I have no idea.
He just shook his head like, oh, I've never seen this.
Nobody had ever seen Tom Cruise play a character like this before, and I don't think he's played one like this since.
No, it was his last and final Academy Award. Last and final. I don't think he's ever getting nominated again, but...
Tame the Pussy. Right?
That's right.
He's done so many goddamn movies.
He's done so many.
All right. I have not seen this movie either.
Come on!
I saw this movie in Greece. I found a theater to see it at.
I own the DVD.
Really? Greece.
I own the DVD.
Everybody owns the... When you walk into a guy's house and they have the DVD collection, without fail, that's there with maybe like Bloodsport.
Wait,
like,
guys,
it's always there.
Or the big ones. Or is it that good?
It's a 5-star movie.
Brandon.
Absolutely.
Okay. Although I feel like I'm alone.
Thank you.
All right. I see what Gina's trying to do here. The critics love this one. I loved it as well.
It's Paul Thomas Anderson's follow-up to Boogie Nights.
I love Boogie Nights. And I used to work at the Flask Liquor store where Ernie Anderson, the voice of ABC, Paul's dad, used to come in. Ernie Anderson was the guy who'd go, You'd be like, someone's killing showgirls and Dan wants to know why. Next on Vegas. So it's great. It's great. And then it'd be like, Joanne Worley on the Love Boat. Like he was that.
Yep.
Ernie Anderson was the bad 70s, yep. ABC, Charlie's Angels, Love Boat, Vegas. He did all. Voice. You got to find one of those. And live. Over in like Toluca Lake, not Toluca Lake, sort of Toluca Village or whatever it is off of Colfax and Ventura there. And he used to come into the liquor store I worked in when I was in high school, and he'd bring his
Did he bring little Polly? Say yeah. hi, Polly. Have he'd you bring seen his, Barry Lyndon?
He'd bring his little kids in, yeah.
Oh,
I remember
that still makes me cry.
Well.
Well, if you ever want a custom one, nobody does a better Ernie Anderson than Brian Whitman. Doing those liners. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. It was always perfect. So you gotta find some of those. They're either Love Boat, Vegas, or Charlie's Angels. All right. Great movie. Loved every second of it. Never stopped watching it. I'm going to go 89.
93.
94.
92.
Oh, quite a spread.
Magnolia is certified fresh at 84.
Oh, a little low. But the people have it at 89, a 22-point deduction.
That's not true, 89. Jeff.
All right. Wait, do you have
84.
Do you have?
It's very long and it's a little.
And the frogs at the end is super weird.
Yeah. Do you have Ernie Anderson?
Wednesday, Chris is an eyewitness to murder and the killer plots revenge.
Come on, Burton, forget it.
On Charlie's Angels. Then Dan Tanner sniffs out a ring of white slavers.
White slavers?
$25,000.
Moving in on Vegas.
Wednesday.
Oh my God.
I got to hear it one more time. White slavers.
Wednesday, Chris is an eyewitness to murder and the killer plots revenge.
Come on, Burton, forget it.
On Charlie's Angels. Then Dan Tanner sniffs out a ring of white slavers.
Your body and your looks are worth $25,000.
Moving in on Vegas.
Wednesday.
Every third episode of every TV show produced in the 70s was loosely based on a hot chick witnessing a murder, and now she needed to be protected. I don't know what's going on with hot chicks today, but they don't see shit. Back in the 70s, every third hot chick was a witness to something, and then somebody would always see the hot chick and go, oh, yeah, like that's the Cobra was all about the hot chick witnessing something.
You know what changed?
Mm.
Heads down, smartphones.
They're all on their smartphones now. They used to have their heads on swivels like linebackers
dropping back into a hook zone.
Hey,
I got something real good.
Hot chicks just walking around. What's going on over there? Wait a minute. Someone's being abducted. Next thing you know, they got a target on their back. But good-looking detective guy has to protect hot chick, but he's going alone.
Wasn't that the plot of Witness, essentially?
Oh, yeah. That's exactly
what it was. Hot chicks would notice everything back in the day. Now they notice nothing.
By the way, Cobra is what made me... when I heard you go on the Bill Simmons show and talk about Corolla or about Cobra for an hour, that was it for me. I kid you not. I knew my buddy Joel Solomon. I was like, I got to meet Adam Carolla. And then I just talked about one of my favorite movies of all time for an hour.
Hey, Jeff, what are you doing at the end of November? Want to go on a cruise with us where we are going to break down the movie?
Stop it.
Not kidding.
Cobra will be broken down on the love. No, we are going on a cruise and Cobra will be broken
down.
It's
one of the greatest of all times.
It's a great movie on like a thousand different levels.
This is going to be a 7-hour movie.
Yep.
It will.
It alerted me to the 80s theme of music videos in the middle of movies.
Oh, the montage.
Chick montage.
Absolutely.
It has nothing to do with anything other than it's in other movies, so it gets a pass. All right, listen, with my minus 5 points and my off five there, I'm at zero right now. Here we go.
All right, up next, Tom Cruise plays Ray Ferrier during an alien invasion. He's got to protect his kids. He tries to rebuild a relationship with his children while aliens are trying to kill him in 2005's War of the Worlds.
Shh.
shockingly relentless movie.
Yeah. My issue with this one is where he wore a Yankees hat. I'm a big Red Sox fan. He had a Yankees hat in this movie.
I didn't like the fact that he had a 65 Mustang Rent-A-Racer Hertz car, and he was rebuilding an engine for it, and he was rebuilding a 302 and not a 289. I know that bumped you as well, Gina.
It was one of my biggest problems
with it. He would have been rebuilding a 289. It would have been period correct
right.
to put the 289 in there.
I didn't want to bring it up.
And also, speaking of cars, the electrostatic shock that the aliens gave, it screwed up the solenoid on the starter of all the cars. So, like, no cars could be started except
the thing,
for the one minivan that Tom Cruise decided to commandeer.
He told the guy to fix it. He said, that's the problem with it. And that one car got fixed by
but
that guy.
But here's the deal. Every car was rendered sort of null and void. But any car that was a stick shift could be bump started.
Oh, wow.
You won't need the starter. So now this movie's 12 years old now or whatever it is. And back then, 20% of the cars on the road were still stick shifts or whatever. But if you had a stick shift, you could push it, pop the clutch, start the car minus the starter. So it shouldn't have been every car. Should have been the lion's share of the charts.
This is also when Cruise, this is the famous time when he lost his mind. This is right around when he did the
couch jumping.
This is couch jumping and when he did the Matt Lauer interview.
And setting up, there was a rumor that there was just tons of tents as far as I could see on set to get people to do the
to do the thing. Yeah. Because he switched, this is the publicist switch when he went to his sister.
Wait, the tents were where?
On set.
On set.
Trying to get the extras and the crew and everyone to come read the E-Mater.
To do the Scientology thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know this.
Supposedly now there's just one, but this was like when it got to its height, so there was a ton.
It was like
young
a carnival.
Dakota Fanning in this thing?
Oh, perfect Dakota Fanning. She's the best in it.
What's his name?
Robbins.
Tim Robbins.
This is a wildly effective movie. Steven Spielberg is.
Robbins scene is super boring.
It's good. It just
Tim Robbins stuff.
The one in the basement.
Yeah, the one where you know they're saving budget, where they spend an hour in a basement with nothing.
It didn't really go anywhere though, right? It was like build, 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 and then we're done.
No, remember what killed them was
birds.
No, parasites.
Parasites.
Yes, yeah, the flu. Yeah, bird. You know.
Bird strike.
Sully. Birdemic.
Yeah. Okay. Tough. So it's like an entertaining movie that just sort of coasted to a stop at the end. I am going to say critics did not love this one, but is it fresh? I'm going to say they gave it a begrudging 63.
Oh, this is where this is the separation point. I said 83.
I've never seen it. Don't care about it. I know Spielberg's involved, but I still said 51.
I think it's pretty good.
I went 69. Hmm. I'm worried it's pretty low, actually.
War of the Worlds is fresh. It's 74.
Ooh, 74. I said 63.
I said 69. Do I get something?
You get some points.
For being
69 enough, you will get something. But you have to stay busy. And you really have to keep your nose to the grindstone. I realize I put 69ing on my list of things I may never do again. You know, like I have
only
these thoughts
about... Only you're in
control
about, of that.
That's
once in a while I have these thoughts about, like, are you ever going to play, like, a real pickup football game, like, ever again?
Tackle.
Like a real, like, out, you know, like a in earnest kind of football game?
Right. Maybe,
probably,
maybe.
Probably never 69ing.
No.
That's certainly not the same day.
That actually might be the only way you can do it.
That's
just
right.
Just like lay on top
That's
of me.
Right.
I can't, I'm in traction.
All right. It's close, but I'm feeling good. Here we go.
Our final movie.
Oh, it's our final?
Final movie.
No, it's not. We got two more. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
This next movie includes the music of Journey, Bon Jovi, Def Leppard, and other artists as they underscore a tale of big dreams in Hollywood. Tom Cruise has a part in it. 2012's Rock of Ages.
Jeff, did you see this movie?
I didn't.
I saw
his scenes, but I couldn't do it.
Baldwin's in this, right?
Yeah. A lot of people in this.
Yeah.
My Dancing with the Stars.
This isn't a Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's not a Tom Cruise movie at all.
He plays Stacey Jacks. He's essentially a featured cameo almost. He's in four or five scenes.
Okay, so what are we talking about here? I mean, are we talking about... Are we talking about teens? Are we talking about... we know it's not fresh, but...
By the poster.
Is it 47 or is it 17.
Anything's on the table.
Anything is on the table, for real, with this movie.
I feel like I'm a little bit in the lead, a little bit. I'm going to try to protect it a little bit.
Going to the prevent defense?
It was a Broadway play.
That's true. That
people don't like it, yeah. but the music. But people like the songs. With a 41,
I hated this movie. Tom Cruise, to be fair, was fantastic. He really was the lone bright spot. And for that 38,
I just am feeling very negative today. I'm saying 25.
I'm in between you guys, and I remember watching scenes from it and thought it was the worst piece of shit ever, so 28%.
Well, someone's right on the nose again.
Oh, no. It wasn't me, because I said 28 so fast.
And his name is still Adam Carolla.
No!
Oh, no! This is rotten at 41%.
41%.
You might be back to single digits.
Why are you so good at this?
It's like I'm good at everything, and this is just one other thing, you know what I mean? Like, I'm good at things,
and this is a thing,
you know?
Is that a monkey in a cruise director's uniform?
Yes, yeah. Okay. I'm also mad that you guys chose this as one of the Tom Cruise. This is
it's
not
offensive.
A fucking Tom Cruise movie.
No, but in a weird way, it's sort of diabolical to push this one in there.
Yeah, it's mean. Why not Cocktail or something?
Because that's we've done those a thousand times.
Oh, yeah. That's the problem.
We've done this game many times.
You have with Cruise?
Yeah.
Again,
Cruise Films.
But this is the, see, you've done it many times with the greatest modern living actor.
That's
not
true.
The greatest. That's a movie
it's quite
star.
A leap.
It's a movie
yes.
star.
Movie
yes,
star.
Yes, yes.
All right. Last one. Here we go. Right.
Last one has Robert Redford and.
Oh, see, this movie. Fucking. This movie's
Cruise.
Terrible.
And.
What are you guys doing?
Inspired by their idealistic professor. A doctor has to do something meaningful with their lives, something like that, and they ship out to Afghanistan. I don't know. It's from 2007. It's called Lions for Lambs.
Nobody saw this
I've
movie.
I've never heard of it.
You haven't?
Oh, God. What? 07?
Yep.
Is that Meryl Streep
yes.
in there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
I
wish it was something I had some feeling for, because I think I'm sitting at like 5 or 6 right now, but I could be 25 points off on this.
This is during the Valkyrie Lions for Lambs run when I think he thought he might get a Best Actor nod, and then that ship sailed, and then he went back
now
to
now he knows
mission.
What he is.
And they went back. Yeah. Seriously.
Has anybody seen this movie
I did.
You did.
I saw it once in the theater, and I was like, because it's a Tom, you know, Tom Cruise, and it was great. It was.
All right. Now, but can the critics take this title and Meryl Streep and Robert Redford and just go, sorry, 30%. Sorry.
I don't have much of an inkling, but I do know that when a movie's bad, no matter who's in it, you're righteous kill with De Niro and Pacino. They'll slaughter.
Yeah, they love to do that even more, I think, with the
sometimes
big ones.
They'll jump on. If it's,
what was the theme again, Dawson?
Tom Cruise.
Thank you. Of the movie, specifically Lions for Lambs. They may have came up with the title, but the idea that he was serious about is what I love.
Oh my God.
Inspired by their idealistic professor, Dr. Mallory, who's played by Robert Redford, to do something meaningful with their lives, Arian, played by Derek Luke, and Ernest, played by Michael Pena, join the military and ship out to Afghanistan. Their experiences tie together two separate but related stories. In California, Mallory tries to break through to a disaffected student while in Washington, D.C., a presidential hopeful played by Tom Cruise prepares to give a journalist played by Meryl Streep the scoop of a lifetime.
This is amazing.
Just put it this way. Meryl Streep did not get nominated for this.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
all right.
That's a good indicator.
Pick up football, 69ing, and scoops of a lifetime, I think, are things I'm never going to participate in again. All right. I am flummoxed. I'm going to try to protect the lead here. Playing defensively. It can't be positive, but the cast is too strong. The theme is too good, and the title is too fucked out. I'm going to go 52%.
Damn it. 55.
48.
50. Wow, we're all on the same page. We did the same. We all play Prevent D.
Lions for Lambs is
19.
Rotten.
19.
And 27.
Oh,
that's bad.
Wow.
So wait, close to that single digit score.
And if we had seen this poster, we probably would have been closer to that score. Because that's
Meryl's
a terrible
face.
Poster.
Look at Meryl Streep.
And she's a brunette.
Yes.
Yeah.
I definitely lost. I lost.
I may have won, but I was playing for pride. I was trying to get myself down into the, into the single digits or the teens or whatever. But
I just got
a big old chunk right there. All right.
Coming in last place, with a score of 80.
That's
me. Gina Grad.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
It's not your fault.
Sorry. Thanks.
And that leaves the three guys. There's a tie for, I guess we'll call it second place.
Well, we know who that is. You
and
me.
And that concerns Brian and Jeff, tied at 51.
Sounds like a good gay couple.
Which means that Adam Carolla won the game with a score of 31 points. Well done.
Thank you. Yeah, I tacked on like 25 on the last one.
Lines for Lambs is the
one.
Tough one.
Yeah.
I'm mad that you guys chose those two movies.
Try, you got to play the game, man. You know how we do it. All right, get the news ready, Gina Grad. I'll tell you guys about LegalZoom. Time is money, especially when you're running a business. Don't waste time on all those legal needs. Let LegalZoom take care of it for you, man. Over 2 million people have used LegalZoom to start their business. LegalZoom's services don't end there, man. Running a business comes with taxes, contracts, hiring, employees, a lot of fine print. LegalZoom, they can provide the advice you need to get you through the daily grind. Mark Garagus sits here and says, if you can get it done at LegalZoom, get it done at LegalZoom. Because you go to him, he does the billable hours. And that ain't cheap. LegalZoom, it isn't a law firm. They work with independent attorneys licensed in all 50 states who are focused on helping you, not logging the aforementioned billable hours. It is LegalZoom, Dawson.
Invest your time and money in growing your business and let LegalZoom help out with the legal stuff. For special savings, be sure to enter promo code Adam in the referral box at checkout. That's promo code Adam for special savings only at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom.com.
Gina Grad.
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, MSNBC anchor Lawrence O'Donnell has issued an apology after a clip leaked of him verbally berating his staff while taping his nightly news show. According to Variety, a series of clips were released last week obtained by Mediaite, which shows O'Donnell repeatedly cursing at his staffers for problems with his earpiece. The clip seems to be from the August 29th episode of The Last Word, which O'Donnell anchors for MSNBC. This particular clip, I believe this is where he loses it over some hammering on a different floor. This is really where things work up to a sweat.
Stop the hammering. Stop the hammering out there. Who's got a hammer? Where is it?
I don't know.
Where's the hammer?
If I had a hammer.
Is it on the other floor? Somebody go up there and stop the hammering. Stop the hammering. I'll go down to the goddamn floor myself and stop it. Keep the goddamn commercial break going. Adam's call like, fucking Phil Griffin. I don't care who the fuck you have to call. Stop the hammering.
Phil Griffin, the non-hammering guy.
So the then.
I got to say this. I do not judge anybody who does like, any of this stuff because I've done this stuff 1,000 times.
Well, there is a side story about this. I'll tell you what O'Donnell tweeted after this. He said, a better anchorman and a better person would have had a better reaction to the technical difficulties. I'm sorry.
Bullshit.
But
he's right.
Yeah. But then I read that because of the digital quality that we just saw, the really high def clip, that had to be leaked. Somebody said that had to be leaked from a top guy at the network, or it had to be done on purpose because you would have just had the raw copy otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know enough about, you know, how TV works to know if that's true, but that was one of the other articles.
There's something about TV when you're in front of the camera and your makeup up and mic'd up and whatever it up that makes you go insane over little shit, and especially little shit you've brought up multiple times. And when we did Loveline on MTV, I've told you guys this, I'll tell Jeff this, they'd put the lav mic pack on the back of your pants.
Sure.
And they'd run the lav mic through your shirt and they'd do the whatever, and the lav thing, it's the size of a pack of cigarettes back in the day, and had this wire clip, and the wire clip sort of looked like a bull ring, like what you'd put through a bull's nose. It had two little ears that went into the actual mic pack, and then it came down and kind of came up, and it was like sprung, and you just slide it on your pants like a coat hanger that was sprung. Our sound guy would never get his shit together, and what would happen was Drew and I would start the show sitting. We'd come out, say hi to everyone, and we'd sit on the sofa, and then at some point they would bring out whoever, Thomas Calabria from 90210 or whatever, whoever it was. I can't even remember who it was. Anyone, Mac 10, like all the people on MTV you can't even think about anymore. And then we would stand up, and when we stood up, the mic pack would have slid off our back and would be swinging behind us because they give you a little extra cord. There'd be like 18 inches of swinging, and you'd see it. It'd be tugging on your shirt as it was doing. And I would tell the mic guy, hey, you got to fix this thing. You got to take this thing. You got to fix this thing. And he'd go like, yeah, they do this thing where they tell you what happened. Yeah, it pops off when you stand up.
Correct.
Yeah, okay, don't ever be a fucking pilot. Yeah, the mountain just sort of was there. It's like, yeah, I know what's happening. You got to fix it. And he's like, and it would happen every time. And eventually I just yelled at him. I'm like, your dad. I'm like, give me the fucking mic back. Go get a fucking thing of gaffer's tape. And he's like, oh, okay. I popped the wire thing off. I bent it hard so that when you put it back, it was like really taut on there. But before I put it back, I wrapped gaffer's tape around the part that goes around, slides in your pants, and I put it back, and I was like, there, it's fucking fixed. We're not going to have to deal with this shit again. And by the way, do your fucking job. And I put it back to him. I was a dick, but it's because I'd been dealing with this shit for like 11 episodes, and they'd never fixed it, and it was driving me nuts. But you only see the part that gets
final moment.
By the way, one of my favorite jobs, and I do want to do a movie or a short on a sound guy someday. Always the most, like, a dude that looks like you, like, just Dawson, like the manliest guy, Dawson, and always has to get uncomfortably close to every human being he comes in contact with, including women. There's nothing better than watching them have to mic a woman.
Yes.
Nothing better, especially in a sexy outfit.
I'm sorry.
And then when they got to get a little intimate, when you go, all right, I'll just drop it. Could we go inside the t-shirt?
Yep.
Yes.
Can we go inside the urethra?
You guys mind if we do that?
Could we just drop it inside the underpants?
You guys want to go down the pant leg? Which way you want to go?
Like,
you
always get that. And especially when the chicks are wearing the real tight shit.
Exactly.
And it's like, they got to get that mic. Could we just go
jamming on it?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the costumer's always right next, just watching. Like, do not just there, not touch that.
Yes. That's a fussy seam.
There has been some more Lawrence O'Donnell audio leaked.
This is breaking.
I don't know if you've heard this, but this is brand new.
Well, today, President Trump visited Texas, but he forgot to bring any empathy with him, but he did bring a hat that is for sale. What's going on? Why am I losing this? Why don't I have sound? All right, it's back. Someone's pressing buttons and turning my sound off. Who's asking for a Labor Day rundown in my ear? Someone in that control room is out of control.
You packed in the morning, I stared out the window.
Is this your work, Dawson? Nice.
God damn it.
I didn't stand in your way.
10 seconds.
Now I miss you more than I missed you before, and now
God damn it.
Where I'll find comfort, God knows.
Cause you have insanity in my earpiece.
Left me just when I needed you most.
There's insanity in the control room tonight. It's not my earpiece, it's somebody talking on our lines. Every time we go to a SOT, there's a woman talking in my ear about something that has nothing to do with what we're doing here.
Now most get used to it. Morning, stare out the window and
God damn it.
About where you might be.
Stop the hammering! Stop the hammering out there!
Just send one to me.
Who's got a hammer? Where is it? Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
God knows.
Stop the hammering. I'll go down to the goddamn floor myself and stop it. Keep the goddamn commercial break going. Call fucking Phil Griffin. I don't care who the fuck you have to call. Stop the hammering. Empty out the goddamn control room and find out where this is going on. It's either there or there, or out there somewhere. The woman talking in my ear was somewhere. Talking about the so Labor Day special repeatedly. Fucking out of control. Shit.
She should never apologize for
this. I just don't know why. So now I have to chase those stupid goddamn entrails that you allowed him to stick out there. Jesus Christ. Crazy fucking sound coming in my ear. This fucking stupid hammering. I told you why I wanted those fucking words cut. It just fucking sucks. All right, it's back.
Captain, the morning I stared out the window and
God damn it.
Struggled for something to say.
It fucking sucks.
Left in the rain without closing the door.
To be out here.
I didn't stand in your way.
With this out of control shit.
Now I love you more than I.
These fucking things. Can come into my ear at any moment.
Just when I needed you most.
Anybody can get into my fucking ear at any time.
Just when I needed you most.
Some woman talking about what we're doing after the show. Fucking guests' faces coming up in the middle of the fucking script.
Yep.
Today, President Trump visited Texas, but he forgot to bring any empathy with him. But he did bring a hat that is for sale.
Wow,
lots of fun.
I think Thank you, Dawson. Yeah, that was amazing. I think you're right, and I don't think personally we care or we're vilifying him. I think it is funny though.
No, the only reason I'm happy is when guys like this get on their fucking high horse about, you know, words hurt and words make a difference, and the way that PE coach spoke to that transgendered or gender neutral student. It's the words they chose. Like, they get on their fucking high horse about that, and they're just dickheads like everyone else.
Right. Yeah, the talking in the guy's ear about some conversation that's supposed to happen between producers, that's clearly incompetence. He has a right to be kind of upset.
Yep.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, in this day and age, too, when something like that obviously should never be leaked. Could you imagine if in the 70s and 80s we had Instagram and the technology with the things they say? Have you ever seen the Johnny Carson footage of the one where he gets super upset because one of the guys on the set next to him took one of the pieces off of his desk? And so in the middle of the show, have you guys never seen this?
No.
See,
no.
And this, now, if this happened today, he would have been fired instantly. It's a black guy who runs the other show,
oh
and
boy.
I can't remember what
oh
it is.
Boy.
And he gets the guy onto his show, and you can tell he is ragingly mad, but he's trying to keep the Carson comedy. And at one point he says something. He's like, yeah, well, you know, you took it off my desk and blah, blah, blah. You know, we should, you know, hang him. And he says, hang him.
Yeah.
He says, hang him.
Is that on YouTube?
Oh, yes, it is. Try to look up Johnny Carson, hang him.
My God.
And it's never talked about. Could you imagine if they did that today? He would be done.
Yeah, that'd
and
be
yet,
that.
Like, so it's just amazing to me
different
that
times.
Like,
it's a different time, Jeff.
Simpler times. Well, Johnny was set in his ways. He wasn't racist, but he was set in his ways. Yeah.
I'm sure I'm not the only first one or only first one to think of Scrooge,
yes!
Bill Murray.
I swear to God.
Please
stop the goddamn hammering. I was going to pull that clip because I thought there might be some truth to this being fake because he's literally quoting Scrooge.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
All right, let's do one more.
All right. Well, we did talk about this at the top of the show, but we'll just finish it up here. CNN reports that President Trump renewed his criticism Sunday of NFL players taking a knee during the national anthem.
He renewed his criticism.
He renewed it. He came back for more. He tweeted early Sunday, quote, if NFL fans refuse to go to games until players stop disrespecting our flag and country, you will see change take place fast. Fire or suspend. The tweet came the morning after Trump took on two of the country's most popular popular sports by withdrawing the White House invitation for the NBA champion Golden State Warriors.
He just fire me, I quit.
Exactly.
He's just preemptively doing that because no one's going to show up.
Well, he did. Well, yeah. Steph Curry said no.
I think he said that on the uninvited.
Uninvited. Uninvited.
Yeah, no, it was known that they were going to not. They were going to make an announcement.
Yeah.
And the night they won the championship, I was like, there's no way they're showing up.
Multiple guys said it. The night they won.
No, but the night the Washington Generals win.
No, boy, it's a party.
That's going to be a White House party.
It's a hometown celebration.
Yeah, he's gonna have a difficult time with the NBA, I think, in terms of heading over to the White House.
Well, and now all the sports are sort of banding together, exactly, and called him a bum and the whole vibe. Mm-hmm. So here's that clip that everyone's talking about when he yells at the players with Trump.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired.
Fired!
He's using his tag phrase.
Yes.
Oh. I like when he steps out from the mic and looks around.
He's very proud. Well, players and league officials, including NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and Cleveland Cavaliers star LeBron James, took issue with this. So far today, because this is on Sunday, Ravens took a knee during the anthem. Jaguars locked arms. They faced off in London. Also, as we talked about, Steelers not participating at all, staying in the locker room. And I can't remember his name. He's a rookie. Baseball player. He was the first one this weekend.
Oh, the catcher for the A's.
Yeah.
He's not a very prominent player.
Yeah, it took a knee.
It's not a name you would know. Oh, it's in baseball now.
Yeah, just wanted to show
Jesus
he was a part
Christ.
Of things.
Fuck everybody.
It feels like we're really talking time. About the issue that's important, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Nothing. No one even deals with the issue anymore.
He's a catcher.
As Adam says, big to small. We're working big to small. We'll get to the other side.
Is he a catcher?
He's a catcher.
He squats all day.
Yeah,
what's
he was
the big deal?
He
takes a knee. He's actually moving. His head is actually higher with a knee.
Yeah.
Yes. You squat for a living, douche. Come on.
Hardly
Why should we listen to you? You're not supposed to make political statements. You sit on your ball sack.
Communicate with signs, fingers, ones and twos.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought we would get on a completely different track because we haven't done this in a while. I have a round of Germany or Florida.
Oh, Germany or Florida.
Yes,
all right.
Let's do it. Do we have...
If I was prepped for it,
I forgot about that. And if it was a hot key. All right, here we go.
Good.
So all bizarre
stories.
Forsaken land. Is this fucked up story from Let's Play Germany or Florida?
All right, so Jeff, you should know.
Oh, this should be easy for
you. You should know. Right. That's why we're playing it.
Oh, okay.
You should know that I think I discovered this game when I was sitting at the writer's table, season one, probably, on Jimmy Kimmel Live. And... back when he used to tell jokes, you have to come up with jokes instead of stances. But we were doing jokes. And so anytime so you'd pitch, you know, you'd eat food and you'd pitch these stories. And anytime, not crime or, you know, somebody was shot while they're riding their horse or something, but it was like somebody put an ad in the newspaper because he wanted to eat another man's penis and this guy answered the ad and he showed up at his apartment and it was either Germany or Florida. Like all the bizarre, insane, macabre stories were Germany or Florida.
Yeah.
That was it. There were murders everywhere and horribleness everywhere, but the bizarre stuff was Germany or Florida. So I came up with a game called Germany or Florida. We have to decide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So here's the weird story, and you can figure out where it was from. Firefighters shared a story to its Facebook page Friday in an attempt at showing how delicate the team of first responders can be during sensitive rescue missions. So apparently a desperate man decided to put his penis inside a cold 5-pound barbell and had a little trouble removing it on its own. The firefighter spent 3 hours trying to remove the penis from the disc.
Somebody, not a firefighter... But somebody put their penis inside.
Yes, a man.
A man put his penis inside inside a disc.
Correct.
Like the disc.
The weight.
Not the barbell
itself. I'm sorry,
itself.
You're right.
Right.
The disc.
Right.
So he put it in the disc. They had to use a cutting grinder, a vibrating saw, and a hydraulic rescue device to cut up the disc and remove the penis.
My wife and I use the same things.
Mm-hmm.
For different.
Spice things up. So did this happen in Germany or did this happen in Florida?
Well, this is weird. First off, you know, I could see myself putting my dick through a disc, but
Get that drop.
I would wear that disc for a number of weeks before I broke down and went to the local fire department. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I would soak myself in cold water and rub myself down with a tub of country crock. I would do anything I could do to get out of that before I broke down, and they went and got the right angle grinder with the carborundum wheel on there. Your dad would get hard if he was in the room right now.
I'm aroused.
Yeah. So,
and I'm thinking, you guys would know better, but it's not like a the size of a keyhole. I mean, it's a nice, so I'm wondering if you put everything through.
Is this fellow single? Yeah.
I think this one's easy, personally.
Oh.
I think this one's easy.
And also, as a firefighter, are you allowed to ask questions? Because I figure,
what happened here?
If I worked at the firehouse, it'd be like, you were trying to fuck a weight disc? No, I was trying to stretch my dick out. Okay. All right. Okay, good on you. Did it work?
I have for the report, yeah.
What do you bench?
Jimmy and I went and did a man show bit once about, enlarging your penis, and the weights, people use weights.
Like hanging the weight from it?
Yeah.
Remember, it used to be the suction thing. That was the thing you always used to see. It's like you could put it in.
There was
put
a suction thing. There's a weight thing. There's a whole bunch of different things. All right. Germany or Florida? What do you think? Jeff, did you venture a guess?
Yeah. I mean, if you've ever watched German porn, you know this is in Germany. I mean, they do some really crazy shit in Germany.
So you say
porn.
Germany? So
Jeff watches a ton of German
porn. I've seen some. My brother gave me some once.
Gina knows.
I know.
Brian?
I'm going to guess Florida because I don't think it's a very German thing to post these stories to their Facebook page. That sounds very American. Mm. So I'm going to say Florida.
Yeah. I got to see the picture of the weight again and see if it's in kilos.
I was thinking that too. I really was. I was trying to get a clue.
Can't tell. Funny. All right. Yeah. It feels Floridian. Germans play this close to the green felt vest.
To the Lederhosen, yeah.
Yes. All right. So we got, I'm sorry, Jeff, you got
Germany.
Germany, Florida, and Florida.
This took place in Worms, Germany.
Oh.
It was easy, guys. It was easy. Jeff, if you've watched German porn, I'm telling you, they do crazy stuff.
Who knew?
All right. Let's bring it home, baby girl.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. This is my domain. This is my castle. I'll put my seat where I please. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Oh, who's shopping for a car? How about you go with True Car? Make sure you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. People configure cars online only to find out they're not available. Well, let's not let that happen to you. Let's go with True Car. Real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by True Car, but pricing from an actual True Car certified dealer. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. Our own Chris Maxpat, I went with the True Car, got himself a Prius with only 200 miles on it. So it was used, but it was same as new. True Car users save an average of $3,000 off a MSRP, actually over $3,000. So when you're ready to buy, you go new, you go used, you go true, True Car. You see what other people are paying and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. It is True Car. Some features not available in all states. True Car. All right. Me doing my one-man show, not Taco Bell material. Thank you, Chicago, for a great night. Coming to Minneapolis, the Music Hall, October 13th, and then to October 14th, Nashville, Polk Theater. That'll be on Saturday, the following evening. Me and Dennis Prager in Brooklyn, King's Theater. That's November 29th. And then we're doing live podcasts. October 5th, Irvine. Come see us out the Irvine Improv. Always a great show. Always a great crowd out there. 26th, Bakersfield. And then November 12th, Oxnard, Levity Live. And just go to adamcroll.com. You can find out where and when and everything all over the place. Jeff Meacham, everybody. Blackish, name of the show. Of course you know about it. Premieres Tuesday, October 3rd, 9 o'clock on ABC. And also, where should we go, Jeff, if you want people to shoot you a tweet?
You know what? Go follow me on Instagram. I like the Instagram. I'm not much of a tweeter. I like pictures.
All right. Follow Jeff.
At Jeff Meacham.
At Jeff Meacham. And again, you can go to abc.com. You want to find out about the show and all that. Until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Jeff Meacham and Gina Grad and Paul Bryan. Say it. Mahalo. Yes, I'm a loser. Yes, nothing has worked out, but no, I do not take orders.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and subscribe to Take a Knee for a dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the link at adamcarolla.com. Gina Grad is on the radio weekday mornings at 100.3 The Sound in L.A. Get your tickets to the non-Taco Bell material one-man show. Music Hall Minneapolis and Nashville's James K. Polk Theater coming up on October 13th and 14th, respectively. And for tickets on everything, go to adamcarolla.com.
Podcast One Sports presents Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Every Tuesday, you can hear Jack Harbaugh.
We're going to attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Jim Harbaugh.
What the hell's going on around here?
And JT Rogan share their stories from on and off the field. Past guests include John Harbaugh, ESPN's Adam Schefter, and Pardon My Takes, PFT, and Big Cat. So don't miss an episode of Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Every Tuesday, exclusively on PodcastOne.com and the new Podcast One app. Just a sample of what's coming to Podcast One Sports.